Two-thirds of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Buck Sexton, and you're listening to the Tudor Dixon Podcast, part of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. I'm Tudor Dixon, and I'm so glad you're here today with someone that I have known for a few years now, one of my favorite people to just chat with. And just before we started recording, we were having an awesome conversation, so I know that this conversation is going to be great, too. This is former New York Congresswoman Nan Heyworth, also a medical doctor, so she's got a lot more knowledge and information than me. So we think of her as a professional in many ways. So we're in good hands today. She is from New York, so I do want to start in New York because there's a lot going on. But first, I want to say welcome. Welcome, Congresswoman Heyworth.
Thank you so much, Tudor. It is my privilege. You're one of my favorite people to have as a host. And by the way, I grew up in Northwest Indiana, so not far from Michigan at all.
Wow. So you know a little bit about the Midwest then. You know,
oh, yeah.
Midwest nice. But you also but now you're in New York, which is an interesting contrast because certainly going from the Midwest to New York, I see you sometimes when we're in New York together. And
yes.
New York City has changed a lot in the past few years.
It has, not for the better. And much of it is attributable to COVID. There's no question. It's all attributable to the predominance of Democrat politicians and politics in our state and the criminal reform law of 2019. Is the lingering source of a great deal of disruption and continuing problems. And
I want to ask you a little bit about some of this, because I think that we've been talking about woke a lot, right? So we talk about all the things woke that are happening. And I'm starting to think that's too nice of a term. And it kind of excuses a lot of the hatred that comes out of this, because we've seen a lot of hatred of white people, white men, especially. We just had Jane Fonda come out and say white men should be put in jail for climate change. We've seen a lot of hatred toward Christians. And just most recently, you had the City University of New York. There was a commencement speech that had, well, what's being called as anti-Israel hate speech. And then they also,
and
condemning the NYPD, calling them fascists. This is like, we're going to the next level. I mean, that's why I don't like calling this woke. This is becoming very dangerous.
Yes, I agree with you. It's poisonous cultural Marxism. I will offer this, Tudor. I think much, in fact, all of the depredations we see emerging from the academy in this country originate because taxpayers are being attached to pay generously for these abuses. We have an education government complex almost exclusively, although there are notable exceptions, including Michigan's own Hillsdale College, which refuses to participate in any government funding programs, scholarships, loans, or otherwise. And they are a shining light of the American founding values that are universal and can and should be cherished by all, and have engendered the prosperity that the education government complex abuses today. What you see, this kind of invective that we heard from this commencement speaker condemning white supremacy, and the law is abused in this country to oppress all minorities. And yes, she had a whole thing. She's obviously Muslim. She had on a headscarf. But to condemn our ally in the Middle East, Israel. This invective was made possible because these people live in an ecosystem. And that's the problem with the left. They never understand the ecosystem in which they can exist. You know, this country is able to harbor them and their rhetoric and their protests and their dysfunction precisely because we have had a nation that has relied fundamentally, if imperfectly, on the principles of, yes, hard work, showing up, being productive, competing, striving for excellence, all of those values that are now condemned as white supremacists, which is an incredible insult to the Black folks I know personally who embody the best of those values. But the education government complex exists for two reasons. One is to indoctrinate the next generation of Marxists, and the other, crucially, is to serve as the conduit, the extortion division for the Democrat Party. They pry money out of taxpayers' pockets and sluice those campaign contributions and votes directly to the Democrat Party and their politicians. It is an absolute disgrace. And the best thing we could do for this country is to defund and dismantle that education government complex, make all education private. And I say that as the product of great public schools in Munster, Indiana in the 1960s and 70s. My dad went to public schools in Tyre, Ohio. My husband went to public schools in New Jersey and Texas. My kids went in New York. They had many fine teachers. I had amazing teachers. I'm very grateful for it, but it should all be private at this point. Because this is the wellspring of that poisonous hatred. And they're cranking out all these graduates going into policy, going into now, of course, business, going into education,
It's starting really young because you have, yeah. I mean, exactly what you're saying, this money that we're putting into big education, and that starts in some cases in preschool. Now, that money that's going in is also paying the dues of the teachers' unions, and absolutely, the teachers' unions are becoming more and more and more powerful. And this is something, I mean, just today I've been talking about this because my kids were in public ed until the pandemic. I moved them to a private school. My oldest will be graduating from eighth grade today, and it's very emotional for me. I've been like a wreck all day. I know that's so silly, but it's still...
No, it's not.
It is. And I have seen how she's grown. And I was telling the folks here in my office today, we went in this morning and they had a breakfast for them for graduation day. And then they had what they called an award ceremony. And everybody's like, oh, did every kid get an award? Every kid did. They got a folder with their award in it, and they weren't called out for what their award was. It was on a roll and things that they had earned. Yes. But what the award ceremony really was the teacher standing up and telling them, these are the gifts that we've seen that you have over the last several years that you've been here. And I just cannot tell you the value I see in these private educations and private educators that pour into your child in that way. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen in public ed, but this for us is very values-based for our family. This is a Christian school. I feel very blessed to have them learning their faith while they're learning their history and their math and their English. And I think that's something that we as Republicans, we want to come in and enact policy. And in several states, we've been successful with choice policy. Yes. But I think the conversation also has to be out there that you have to, as a parent, be incredibly involved in your child's education. Mm-hmm. And if you think that's missing, research other schools. And if you think you can't get into that school, but it reflects your values, find out what programs they have, because you probably can figure it out.
Well, I think that's great advice, Tudor. I agree wholeheartedly. And I do think that as a nation, we should be, and I welcome it state by state, yay, federalism, but state by state, the school choice, you know, the money follows the student, not the school. That is a powerful means of ensuring that institutions will compete on the basis of quality. And that means involved parents recognizing what that quality should be and what it should look like. But institutions competing to do the best they can for our children. Families have the fundamental, you are so right, Tudor, parents have the fundamental responsibility. There's no question. I do think that we as a society have a collective responsibility, not ownership, but a collective responsibility to make sure that we're fostering the development of the best individual citizens we can have. Because as the framers and founders brilliantly noted, this country will only work, John Adams in particular, this country will only work if it is comprised of moral actors. Of individuals who understand their relationship to God, what it should properly be in terms of obligations to their communities, to others, to themselves, to their families, to this country. And that will not happen in public schools of today, sadly, for many reasons. And that's why that choice is so important.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is, quote, worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of the things that we see coming out of public schools today, I mean, obviously we're seeing, we started talking about woke, but we are seeing a lot of this stuff come into the schools.
Absolutely.
This is, you know, Pride Month starts in June. A lot of schools are ending in June. And so that's just like, that's how they're, that's the note they're ending on. And there's a lot of push. I mean, we saw the Department, U.S. Department of Ed on the first day of Pride come out there with a post saying, you know, we're welcoming this. This is an exciting thing. And as far as I'm concerned, we're talking about your sexual identity, which I don't feel that that has a place in, certainly in elementary school, but really I don't want somebody talking to my middle schooler about that. And I think you're figuring out who you are in high school. So I don't see, I really don't see this as a school issue whatsoever, but we see communities that are, it seems as though the social contagion of transgenderism is infecting entire communities. And I say that, and I'll have people say, oh, well, you don't believe that people can be transgender. I don't believe that five girls that are friends become transgender altogether. And and I know that there have been studies, I think it was Boston University that did a study showing that this is a social contagion. I mean, similar to anorexia or bulimia, which is something we saw when I was in college. We had whole communities of girls that would become anorexic at the same time. Why are we not allowed to say that?
Why indeed? And to your point, Tudor, I observed today that a paper was just withdrawn or rejected or submitted for further review. Anyway, you know, has been pulled. And the paper dealt with, from a scientific journal, and the paper deals with rapid onset gender dysphoria, ROGD, just what you're talking about. That phenomenon seems particularly prevalent among females, female adolescents, that they all of a sudden decide as a group that they are not in the right body. This is, it's such an important, vital issue on so many levels. Clearly, there are individuals. It is a very tiny number of human beings who feel profoundly that their body is not the right body, and that, you know, the sex they're born with. It's not a matter of being assigned. You could call it observed sex. I'm a doctor. You know, it is clear when an infant is born. Almost always, there are outlying cases for reasons that are well known. They have to do with certain abnormalities of ordinary bodily function. But, you know, we're observed to be male or female. It's not a matter of the doctor arbitrarily saying, well, you know, this is a little boy, this is a little girl. Everybody, and anybody with common sense knows that. And the fact that it's hard even to say that, not among Republicans, but among Democrats. Ketanji Brown Jackson could not define a woman. You know, it's like, what?
And yet when you have a gender reveal, there are only two colors that we're choosing from.
Well, yes. So an adult, and by the way, you know, the definition of adulthood probably is much closer mentally and psychologically to being 25. You know, it's not 18.
Right.
By the way, 18 is an artifact of the Vietnam War era, because the argument was, if you can get drafted at 18, then you ought to be able to vote. You can argue the legitimacy of the draft, by the way. I completely get that. But the army is an authoritarian hierarchy, or the military is an authoritarian hierarchy. You put 18-year-olds into that, their lives are completely regimented and regulated. That does not mean they have the discernment to have the franchise.
I think that's something people don't understand, though. And so go into that a little bit, because you're talking about brain development, and brains develop at different points. But we know for sure that consequence and all that, those are the last things to develop. So fully understanding.
Yes. Perspective, self-control, And if you want to know, I learned this on the Financial Services Committee when I was in the House. If you want to know who's got the skinny on, real life risk, ask an insurance company, because that's their livelihood. That's their survival. That's their bread and butter. Auto insurers will not insure a driver until they're, or at least rental companies. I'm pretty sure a lot of auto insurers either, but you can't rent a car until you're 25 years old. Why?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because they won't, your rental company insurers won't insure you if you're renting to under 25 years old, because that really is the cutoff. So my strongly held view as a doctor, I'm an ophthalmologist. I am not a gender specialist, but my strongly held view is that, because I know the kind of harm that we're capable of doing as doctors, we can do unnecessary procedures. We should not be. I didn't, but you know what I'm saying.
But there's also, I think, a temptation, just like in any business, there is a temptation to go a little bit to the next, like try to bring in the next buck, right? And we've heard about this in all different
industries.
And this
is happening in medicine. Yes.
I mean, we've heard about people having cavities filled when there was no cavity, all of these different things.
Yes.
So why is this not a big deal? Why are there not more doctors standing up and saying, yeah, this is incredibly lucrative? I mean, to cut off healthy body parts, that's a serious surgery. I've had a double mastectomy. I know that it was extraordinarily expensive. And between me and the insurance company, a lot of money was exchanged. So why are people in the medical industry afraid to stand up and go, wait, this is not no harm?
Tudor, because the political pressures are enormous, and also most of the House of Medicine in this era is on the left. And I see it at my own alma mater, Cornell Medicine. Anybody willing to do a life-altering, irreversible intervention, chemical or surgical, on a human being under the age of 25, before they have full neurobiological maturity, personally, I think that is malpractice. And I think criminal penalties should apply.
It's interesting, because a lot of these lawmakers are looking at bills up to 18. And I think that they are doing this without probably the advice of a medical professional, because we all have this ingrained in our head that once you're 18, you're an adult.
Exactly. And it's a big mistake. That's right. And it's because we were drafting people into Vietnam at age 18. And then folks said, we've got to be able to vote at age 18. The dumbest thing this country ever did was let 18-year-olds have the vote. Sorry, they're not ready.
I think that people, it's such a compelling argument from the left to say these people want to commit suicide. You're taking this away from them.
I know, it's terrible. Yes.
But there is a lot to be said for just growing up. And there are things, no matter what, that you just can't do until you're a certain age. And I don't know how we frame that in a way that people understand that what we're doing is the loving part. We are loving people enough to say, when you're ready.
Right. And I think the elements are this. Number one, we say, look, once you are an adult, you live your life the way you choose. If you were, if your body has XY cells, male cells, but you want to live looking like a female, that's up to you. Now, we have to have a separate conversation, of course, about women's spaces in sports. And I think this is politically where Republicans gain a certain community affiliation that might not otherwise be there. But before the age of 25, we as practitioners have to protect the vulnerable. And that's, we have to recognize that these folks need, they don't need judgment. That's an element of it. We're not judging, but we are offering compassion and care. You know, and what we're saying is, I understand and appreciate that you are distressed. You don't feel right. Most of these people, as I'm sure you know, Tudor, are somewhere on the emotional disorder spectrum. A lot of them are on the autism or Asperger's spectrum. They don't feel, you know, and folks on that spectrum have a lot of trouble placing themselves in a community.
That's what I think there is. There are folks that have a feeling, a lack of fitting in feeling. And so, the message from some folks in the medical community is that this can manipulate those people.
Yes.
Our percentage of truly transgender people is not as high as what we're seeing coming into clinics. But it's also pushed by social media and all these other things. And now we have this madness of, we're changing the boxes of menstrual products. And I mean, they're even coming out and saying this is a bigger financial burden for trans people. I'm like, how is a menstrual product a bigger financial burden for one group over another? Like, we're all people that are going out and buying these products are buying them at the same cost, whether you're buying this for yourself or your daughter or, you know, whatever this is, they cost the same. And I think it's also disappointing to see these companies cave and say, we're going to make this look less like it's for women. We've got to get rid of this female symbol. We've got to get rid of the color pink. I mean, the next thing you know, I'm going to have to search for it in the spaghetti aisle because we don't even want it in women's products. I mean, give me a break.
It's just, yes, the left exists to disrupt. And that they have embraced this transgender theme movement in part because they feel it just simply disrupts American society. And whether or not, you know, it could be subliminal for some of them. But they are succeeding because of the complicit nature of American enterprise at this point. And we're seeing it on all fronts. So social media, as you pointed out, Tudor, Jonathan Haidt has done a lot of great work about this with colleagues, and wrote an essay a couple of months ago, published an essay. Really, statistically, you can see that the figures for mental distress, mental dysfunction, skyrocketed with the advent of smartphone use among kids.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. You could be one of them, sitting in the dark and cold for hours, for days, maybe even weeks. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. Folks say this new solar generator from Four Patriots is, quote, worth its weight in gold. Why? Because this generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Or other devices like an electric blanket, microwave, RV, air conditioner, or even an electric wheelchair. You also get 12 outlets, including 4 AC outlets, so you can power more devices at once, and 2 USB-C outlets, which can charge your phone 20 times faster than a regular plug. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We see students or young women more so than young men who are affected by social media. They see friends out. They're not out with the friends. There's something wrong with me. There's an internalization. Yes. We're seeing young female suicide and suicide attempts that are increasing. What is the answer for that? Because I think that so often we look for a legislative answer to these things, like a quick fix. I mean, it's just like when you have a kid that's suffering, what's the pill that I can give them, you know?
But absolutely.
What is the legislation that I can do that can just cut this off? But it's a society, it's a culture issue.
I agree with you, Tudor. You're right. And once we lose the culture, we're in trouble. I think we are in trouble.
Why are Democrats winning? I mean, what are we doing that is not it? What is your perspective in New York? Because obviously I have mine in Michigan, but you had the same thing where everybody thought, oh, we're going to end up with the governorship here. And then it didn't happen. So what are the Democrats doing that are winning over hearts? Because I believe it's hearts. I don't think you're just getting votes. I mean, I think that there are shenanigans going on, but they're moving hearts and they're very serious.
Absolutely. And look, Republicans did come close. You know, Democrats make the argument that they are more compassionate and they care more about personal liberty. Superficially, some folks might agree with them because, you know, Democrats want to take lots of money from rich people and send it to people who are needy. And isn't that compassionate? Well, you know, not when you think it through, when the coercive power of government is involved. But unfortunately, anybody can vote, even if they really don't know how our government works. You know, anybody can run for office, even though they don't know how our government works, how it's supposed to work. We don't teach civics anymore. We don't teach math properly. We don't teach, you know, I mean, all of these problems are interrelated. The most immediate answer for teenagers, for kids, is for them not to have smartphones, for them to have flip phones. That, you know, they can get calls and they can make texts and take pictures maybe, but that's it. That's it.
And you would think that there would be a huge market for that you would have.
And parents have to make that decision, not the government.
I mean, but you can even see, I mean, companies like Apple, they could easily make a device that doesn't do any of the other things, right? But the market is out there, and then you'd have people saying, "Why want that to be available?"
Right.
We're in an interesting conundrum right now, and I think the Republican Party has some soul searching to do on how to reach people and how to message, but how to get that message out. I mean, I think we're messaging, we're just not reaching people. And I mean, we were talking about the presidential battle before we got on here, and that in and of itself is, boy, it's such a fight right now. We see that on social media, and I don't think that those open battles and the tearing down of one another is going to do well with the 18 to 29 year olds, because that's a group that, I mean, they've been told their whole life there's nothing worse than a bully.
Right. Although they see bullying all the time and they participate in bullying. And again, social media.
Well, yes. Yeah. As long as it's their type of bullying.
Right. You know, if it's Democrats doing the bullying, you know, because what the left will say is, They, we're the tolerant ones, but they're completely intolerant. In the name of tolerance, they're completely intolerant of what they perceive to be, and what historically in some ways is. I mean, the dominant culture in this country was white and Christian, you know, or Judeo-Christian. So, yeah, if you want to look at, you know, what was what has been.
I mean, I think about just the other day on The View, you have Sonny from The View coming out and saying that white women are following their husbands in what they're doing, voting. They need to preserve the patriarchy.
It's just stupid.
What are you talking about? And I think about the days of The View when it was really the viewpoint of all different women, you know, when Barbara Walters was on there giving them stern looks. No, no, pull it back. You know, there is no pulling it back now. This has become a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. And the fact that no one condemns that she says this, no one says, well, wait a minute, these women have minds of their own, but they can paint conservative women as Handmaid's Tale or whatever it was that I kept hearing when I was running. And
yes, the Handmaid's Tale.
Horrible.
Yeah. No, it well, okay. So yes, did you and I grow up in a country that had more white citizens and still does than those of other races? Yes. More Christians. I mean, certainly in my era, arguably that's changed an awful lot. But that doesn't mean, number one, that they're inherently bad. They haven't been inherently bad, not at all. So that's number one. But number two is that in order to try to reverse, you can't reverse the past. You can certainly change what we do now and for the future. But in order to try to make up for past sins, we have created protected classes of citizens. So Sunny Hostin, because I guess I don't know what exactly her ethnic background is, but I think she's read as black because she's a black woman. You can't say anything to Sunny Hostin. She will interpret it as racist and sexist. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's in a protected category now. And if you don't want to get into trouble, right, you tiptoe around the protected category. So we can't have a real debate with Sunny Hostin. I mean, people do, but you know what I'm saying? You can't have a real debate with Sunny Hostin because then you'll be rejected from the halls of, white thinking people.
That's exactly right. I think that is the fight that we keep having is just, it's interesting. You talked about girls sports a little bit. We didn't get there, but the fight I think that we keep having is just to keep having our voice out there and say, you know, these are our values. We're not going to bend to you. We're not going to say that we're ashamed of what our values are. They're our values. They've worked for a long time. And I think that people, no matter what faith you are in this country, you can be proud of your faith. You can speak your faith. No matter what political party you are a part of, you can be proud of your political party and you can speak for that. And you can speak the values to that. That's something that I think that we've seen being pushed further and further. But I love that you are out there every day and I see you on TV all the time. I think that's amazing because as a woman who did serve the country and has been in the medical field, also in Congress, those are two combinations that I think are places we really need voices. So I commend you for being out there every day and continuing to talk. And I'm glad you joined us today. So Nan Hayworth, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tudor. Absolute privilege.
It was a joy for me as well. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, as you know, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there. Tell your friends about it. Or you can go to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you join us, share it, tell your friends about it. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? You could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run the big appliances like your fridge even longer. Best of all, this new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas, ever. Over 150,000 Americans trust Patriot Power Generators. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. Go to 4patriots.com/tutor.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.